If you're a regular listener, you'll know that on our website there are almost 1,000 documentaries from the RTE archives going back decades.
God bless the work, Paddy.
You're welcome, Tom.
You have the live chat from your
pen. One of the most popular with the listeners is from 1978. It's called Nobody Ever Went to America to Learn How to Kill a Pig.
They're going around the back with the pig now. Get them ready for the cab.
Have their rope on it.
They have one rope on them, on one leg.
When I get my knife, Paddy, you'll give it a rope.
Better go down, so we see what they're doing down at the back.
All right, so lads.
That's obviously interesting because it recalls a practice that's almost died out. And then there are others that reveal how we in RTE thought about our listeners and our interviewees.
They had a lot of land, you had a lot of land too, you know. So they did all the people around, we should get work in 3 weeks before they used to come, fixing up every place for the weather to be good looking when they'd come.
In case you found that difficult to follow, what Mr. Quinn told us was that his uncle, John, as a boy, was chosen by James de Bastereau to be educated in France with Florimond, and that his education completed...
That was from The Count at Duras from 1966. And as you click through the website, you come across documentaries that, no matter their age or the age of the subject, they're just good stories, well told. One in particular is Barge Men from 1976 by Brendan O'Keevan. Here are a few longer extracts from it. You may not agree, but I think there's a great energy to this.
The lads from the Barrow, and they always said, Shinny and Hoggy. Shinny was port and Hoggy was starboard. And the reason for that was there was one particular man who was a hackman. He had a barge of his own on the canal. But in his latter years, the man became blind and lost his sight. And he couldn't give up the boat because he was supporting his family by trading on the canal. But two of his sons crewed with him, Shinny and Hoggy. Shinny was a skinny fellow like myself, and Hoggy was nice and plump and well covered. So as they'd be going along the canal or approaching a lock or anything like that, they'd shout the instructions back to the fellow, up to Shinny, over a little bit to Hoggy, the ones who got the port or starboard. And the name spread and went around the place, and it sounded very strange to hear a man coming into, say, Banner or something like that. Bring over to Shinny there a bit. You know, but this is how actually the name came about.
Come, all ye dryland sailors, bowl and listen to me song. There's only 40 verses and I won't detain you long. Tis all about the adventure years of a bold young Irish tar who sailed as man before the mast on the gunship Calabar. Now the skipper was a strapping lad, he stood just 4'2". His rose was red, his eyes were black, and his hair was a Prussian blue. He wore a leather medal that he won in the Crimea War, and his wife was passenger mate and cook on the gunship Calabar. Now we sailed away with a favouring breeze, and the weather was sublime. But just in the straits of Rialto Bridge, where you can't pass two at a time, another craft ran into us, which gave us a serious check. It stove in the starboard paddle wheel box and destroyed the hurricane deck. Now when hugging the shore of Inchicore, a very dangerous part, we ran aground on a lump of coal that wasn't marked on the chart. And to save ourselves from sinking, and to save each precious life, we hove the main deck overboard, including the captain's wife.
Are you aware of the fact that they used to have a little, they used to take a little drop of porter out of each barrel? But they hadn't written law about it. A sweet can was the maximum you take out of a firkin, and a biscuit tin was the maximum you take out of a hogshead. The method of doing this was you just tap back the hoop on the barrel and with a gimlet bore a little hole and filled your little sweet can. But if any fella took two cans of porter out of a hogshead, he was rimming it. You know, that was a mortar.
Oh, just a load of porter was a great man if you were drinking. Oh, sure. I tell you, it kept half of my life in the canal. I often was there myself too, in later years when my father cuts round at Lallemers, I'm sure. I gave a bucket of port and I'd live there behind when we steered along at night time, 9, 10 o'clock in the night maybe, singing away to me heart's content and asking around me. Sometimes then the port would be no good, it wouldn't be in condition. So I'd redden the pork on the fire, red, stick it down in the bucket, I'd mull it. You'd hear that then, All great stuff, though. Not like the stuff today. Oh, but important you'd have a gimlet. You're bored, but keep away from the stairs, like, you know. You went in between the stairs, you'd never stop it. It'd open up completely. You bore a hole in the centre, and you bore another one on top. That'd be in the winter time, of course. But in the summertime, you see, you need to bore one hole. It was mad, it was in condition. You held the bucket out, it might blow it out of your hand, you see. But then you'd average, you'd take 5 or 6 pints over the course. But then you knew you wasn't robbing anyone. Because Guinness always spent 5 or 6 pints extra on every barrel. It was a wooden barrel, you allow for leakage. See? But then Dyer and Lung came out and... They thought that would pill too, but we conquered that too. We conquered that too. We had it for about 2 weeks going around, we found out how to do it. We got a lead going, a little tinker-like, as we call a tinker-like olden things, used to go into it. So we take away that with a penknife. And we used to get the horn on the boat. We used to have a horn that time, you see, for calling the lock keepers. So we get the horn, we push in the narrow part of it in. And out flow the port on mad. And when you put away the horn, it would lock itself again automatically. So we said, they were handy out here. So we yoked up a bit of a bent pipe. We used to shove it in and hold the bucket under it. But we'd only take maybe 2 pints out there and long. Because, you see, we'd have the horse over the wooden barrel and it wouldn't be in condition. So we'd give it 2 squirts of iron long for a head in it, you know. Oh, we I should want to think what we done. So we had to do it to survive. One for all the money to offend anyway.
Even the cook met us. There was one, there wasn't room, you see, in the small area today, out of the table, it was 4 knives, 4 cup saucers or something. They had one communal dish.
Good question. I'll tell you what it is now. You come along now, and if you haven't much money or much grub, I'll tell you what you'll do. If you have a good few spuds, and one little small skin of a rasher, or a piece of a rasher, or a piece of bacon, and an onion, cut it up real fine. Peel your potatoes, fry your pan. If you have a bit of dripping or a bit of fat rotten, raise your pan. Peel all your spuds, throw them down in the pan. A little bit of meat in the top of it. And then get an onion and have that cooked in a little low soften as well, nearly cooked. When the whole lot then starts steaming, you bring the water, cold water, in the top of the pan. Throw in your bits of meat and the onion, the whole line on top of it, and put an enamel plate down on top of it, lowering your primes. And you see the lead lifting like this, and the steam coming over the sides of it. When it's near done, then you have the table ready, and you have it on and crop it off a bit. Of course, you won't put any butter on it. You save butter with the curly course, you see, they go around the sides of the pan, and they'll be smacking their lips after it. All that then will flow into it. But it's a nice old feed when you have nothing else, like, you know, it's tasty. But you can't bait the pig's head. Oh, the pig's head is me man, boy. And a great big white enamel basin. Throw around in a knife and fork a piece all around, and one lad in one lock, and another lad in another lock, and a lad in a little stool, like a milking stool. And here you be then, dig for dig, dig in all you could at one time. Sometimes then when it's be real low in the basin, and lad will say, ha ha, I got that bitty, go for it. So it wouldn't be a bit of cabbage to be made of. What was it? Sometimes in the hole come in the enamel basins. We used to have to tear a bit of the old sheet of the bed, maybe, or a bit of the old shirt, and twist it and shove it up in the hole and pull it through and put a knot on it. And redden the pork on the fire and burn off the ends of the old cloth, you see, to stop the crazy water from coming down on the old table on you. Here your man go off and he pulled the whole bit of the cloth or shirt out or right through the hole in the basin. Well, cheers, we should tell you great ones. 3rd of December 1948. I remember leaving Tullamore around 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. My father and myself. And we were coming. We said we'd go up as far as Killinlaa that night, like. We'd tie up the boat there and we'd wish my daddy's brother and sister a happy Christmas. So we left anyway when we got to Ticknevin Lock. My father said, you get out to the lock now, Jimmy, says, ready. He says, and I'll throw you up the rope, he says. So I said to my father, okay, I says, I go out. John Pender, the lock keeper, was there as well. And John Pender says, good night, Jim. I said, good night, John. How are the old night? God, he says, it is. He says, where are you off? I said, we're going off. We have a load of him. He says, well, I said, we're only up as far as Killinlaa tonight. That'll do us, you are. Father swept the rope and we stopped the boat in the lock. She rose up. I opened the breast gates. John Pender took off the stop rope and he threw it into my father and he wished him a happy Christmas. So we got when she was leaving the lock anyway, we went down to the engine room and I filled the trucks and pumped out the old bilge and looked at her. She was nodding up and said, my father, everything's all right down there now. I think now, Jimmy said, you ought to go up and make us up a tea. And again, you have the tea ready. He says, we'll be at Killinlaa Bridge. We'll tie up there then and we'll drink the tea, he says. And we'll clean up the old cabin. We'll go up then and we'll wish your aunt and your uncle a happy Christmas. Fair enough, sir. So I went up and I lit the old primers. sat down and was just, that time I didn't put the table because we were in the twos and I put a bit of paper in the locker and put down the two mugs and the old bowl and spoon apiece and two cuts of bread. Next thing the boat struck the bridge. I lipped up. Boat was going full bore. She was only going from one side of the bank to the other, nowhere. I ran back to Dick, showed and bawled for my father, no father, daddy was gone. So my father's pushback was behind old Dick, load of empties, and I took it out and I rode to Carberry in the county Galeras, about 4 miles away. The police brought me back and threw the old bike alongside him in the car. Showed him out there, dragged the river until 3 o'clock in the morning. Said, your father's not in it, you may go to bed. So I said, I'll wait anyway, daddy might be back. So myself and my daddy's sister and brother, we sat there in the cabin waiting and waiting and wondering and thinking, no sign. Every minute we'd hear a step coming. No step, no daddy. I got an easy, and when daylight broke, as you know, winter time, about 9 o'clock, I walked down the bank. Just right in front of Kynes House, there's a slip where people goes out to raise water up. There he was standing up in the water. His left hand tight on his breast, another one by his side. The water barely flowing over his hair. 4 feet in mud. Oh, me love is a boatsman, he's handsome and tall. He sails down the Barrow, the neatest of all.
From the documentary Barge Men from 1976 by Brandon O'Keevan. One of the more than 900 documentaries you can hear at a click on the Documentary on One website on rte.ie.
I wish him safe sailing as the north winds that blow, with a fine pair of horses going down to Carlow.